It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Insight on this gorgeous Wednesday evening.
It's more gorgeouser than last week.
Much, much more gorgeouser. So we welcome in studio, and I don't know whether there's an easy way to introduce them because they're not all from the Mercer County Right to Life, but we have Connie Randall, who is from the Mercer County Right to Life. We have Jocelyn Damerson, who is a student activist, let's say, in regards to the abortion issue, right? And we have Mr. Michael Spencer, who is an author and is an active pro-life
trainer
person, yeah. Too, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yep. So we're going to spend the next hour talking about the various activities of the Mercer County Right to Life, about the book, and about maybe Jocelyn's experiences down at Dayton with the abortion clinic, too. You know, I think that sounds fascinating.
Great.
But let's start with the getting to know you part, okay? So, Connie, we will start with you. And what's your title with the Right to Life?
I'm actually serving as president this year. I served last year for my first term. And then I talked to the vice president and asked if it would be okay if we would just stay in the same spots in 2022. And she said, that sounds great. So I'm serving again as president.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you've been a member of the Mercer County Right to Life for how long?
It's been a while. I don't even know how many years. I've not been real active as far as going to a lot of the meetings, but different events I'd be a part of.
Good. And the organization has been together since when?
Well, I just dug into this today, so this was interesting for me as well. Mercer County Right to Life was chartered on March the 29th, 1974. This is just 1 year and 2 months after abortion was legalized in our country. So for almost 48 years, Mercer County Right to Life has been standing up for those citizens who are still in the womb.
Yeah. And you knew in this area that it wouldn't take us long to get some organization active in that cause, because you cannot drive down the road more than about a quarter of a mile without seeing some sort of pro-life message, you know. And I mean, that's Mercer County. Yeah, yes. It really is.
You're right, Jack.
So, Joss. No, not Joss. Yes, Joss. So, tell me about you. You're a student?
Yep. I'm a senior in high school. I've been involved in the pro-life movement since I was like around 12 years old, and I've been listening to Mike's training since then, and basically just gotten involved and taken more of an active role since then.
So when you were 12, mm-hmm. what caused that light to kick on and said, I want to be a part of this?
Well, so I asked my mom if I could go with her to one of Mike's talks, and then I saw a video of the aborted images, and I knew I couldn't just sit idly by and not do anything.
Very good. And we'll talk about some of your activities as a youth representative and, you know, going down to Dayton and what you see down there, too.
And maybe a little bit of her family history, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. She has very local ties.
And so does Connie.
Yes.
Yep, so, and then we have Mr. Michael Smith. Spencer.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for remembering my last name, Jack.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm married with 5 kids and 7 grandbabies, and I spent 23 years in pastoral roles, and I did that until about 10 years ago when I stepped into a full-time pro-life apologetic training role. So basically, I equip pro-life ambassadors to speak confidently and to act sacrificially on behalf of the most vulnerable, the most marginalized, the most oppressed in our culture, and that is, of course, the unborn baby.
Sure.
So that's what I do.
So what made you take the career in being a pastor and kind of focus it on this issue?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I I was actually on the other side of the issue for many years. Late into my high school years, I sort of defaulted to a kind of a classic so-called pro-choice view. And I held that position into my early adult years. But what happened was I grew up in a very good but a non-Christian home. And I came to faith in Christ when I was 21. And about somewhere around 8 or 9 or 10 months, something like that, after my coming to Christ, and now going to church, you know, for the first time really in my life, I was exposed to a film which was kind of a groundbreaking film back in 1984. It was called The Silent Scream, and in that film, you actually saw an ultrasound guided abortion, and I saw that night at church for the very first time in my life what abortion did to little boys and girls, and I couldn't believe it. It was a real game changer. It was a life changer really for me. Long story short is I went on to pastor, went on to Bible college, and I served in, like I said, in 7 years in youth pastoral roles and then 16 years in senior pastor roles. But I had just a growing burden. From the time that I saw that video, I mean, I was passionately pro-life. It was like a light switch for me. But that burden grew as I saw more and more in my circles with other pastors just how quiet the church really had been about abortion. And so that burden just continued to grow. So 10 years ago, I was invited to join the staff of Life Training Institute. And I did that for about 8 years and had a great experience working under Scott Klusendorf, who's kind of the renowned, kind of the most prominent pro-life apologist really in the world today. And then 2 years ago, I stepped away to start a new pro-life organization called Project Life Voice. And so that's the ministry that I lead now.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and we're going to come back and talk about the various facets of what each of you represent and bring to the table. So we'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesday, you can get special prices on our famous wings and draft beers. Wednesday night, get $3 off of any of our large pizzas. And Thursday, you can get our tenderloin basket. On Friday and Saturday evenings, we offer a sirloin steak or all-you-can-eat chicken that both include our salad bar and your choice of potato and a dinner roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern for some great home cooking.
I need a better job where the benefits are great, a family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hi, my name is Ava Shane.
I'm Sophie Pearson.
And I'm Ella Shane.
And we are the Fort Recovery Girls Softball Team, and we're having our annual Pulled Pork Fundraiser.
The tickets are just $8 each, and you can get one of Wendell's Barbecue's famous pulled pork sandwiches, mac and cheese, and chips.
The dinners will be available on Sunday afternoon, March 13th, and you can just drive by and pick them up at St. Joe's store from 4 to 6 p.m.
Contact any of us on the softball team for tickets, and we'll also be selling them at all the home boys and girls basketball games.
Don't miss out on the girls softball team's annual barbecue pulled pork dinners available on March 13th at St. Joe's store.
See any of us on the team to get your tickets.
Bye.
Bye.
We're back. Insight.
Yep. You can maybe try these other ones that are hanging on there. You'll have to move them around.
We're having some technical issues.
I think one
here.
Of those, you have to slide it clear up over the top. I think one of those ears is probably like the other one where it doesn't, not going to fly. Okay. I won't worry about it.
So we'll be back next Wednesday. All right. I think we got it figured out
now. Yeah, sort of.
All right. So, Connie, let's start with you. Okay. First of all, not many people may have heard of Connie Randall in the Fort Recovery area, but I bet they've heard of Connie Keller, correct?
Probably.
And you're a proud graduate of Fort Recovery?
I am.
Right?
Yes.
We won't ask a year because that gets a little bit more personal than what we want to. But and you're presently in Salina?
I am.
Very yep. good.
I reside in Salina, yes.
Welcome back to the fort.
Thank you.
It's always home, isn't it?
It is good to come back to the fort.
Yes.
My parents are still here, so I get over here often.
Very good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Mercer County Right to Life. It has been in existence now for 48 years. Mm-hmm. And what is the goal, the mission of your Mercer County Right to Life?
That's a good question. Our goal... Let me just come back over here. I had that written down over here. It was such a good little line. I wish I could just pull that up real quick. But we just want everyone to understand what is happening with abortion and what we can do to make a difference. You know, there's so many different roles that you can fill in the pro-life movement. And there's many different spots in our group that you can take and just... Just like I talked with Dee Grishup today. You probably all know Dee here from Fort Recovery. And we were talking about the diaper derby that's going to happen here at the Fort Recovery Jubilee. And so we were talking about prizes and things like that. So as simple as being part of a diaper derby, you know, and just getting sure. them involved with our group. So there's many spots to fill.
Yeah. And then, you know, so the Right to Life has about how many members?
Well, we send out about 480 newsletters a month, and I don't even know what number we're up to on our email list. I'm going to guess 800.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we send out that many every month. As far as our meetings, you know, we probably average 15 to 20 people a week, but there are so many people who work on the sidelines. It can be from making up the mailing labels for our newsletters to Karen Romer this week. She's putting together, she's the main organizer of the Sweetheart Dance. She's put hours in to put this dance together. So you can take on something as big as a Sweetheart Dance or something as simple as being at home and printing out labels for newsletters.
Yeah. And you said that you have 15 to 20 people show up for the meetings a week, but the meetings are monthly, right?
Right, okay. Right. We meet once a month. We gather the fourth Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock. We meet in the Preferred Insurance Center, which is in Coldwater, across yep. from the hospital.
Across from the hospital.
Yeah. Dan and Susie Mullenkamp. They let us use their facility at no cost.
New place with the pink flamingos, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. That's how that center is known, is their pink flamingos.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's where we meet. We meet in the basement. And that is actually where we will be holding our oratory contest, which I'd like for Jocelyn to speak on that. She has been part of the contest. And she'll talk a little bit about that and the prizes for that contest. And then a week later, we will be meeting there for our Life Defenders classes, which Mike will give us more information on that. So we're just using that facility a lot for
That's cool.
our group.
And so when you look at the Right to Life's activities during the course of the year, I would have to guess that your Sweetheart Dance is one of the biggest.
That is one of our biggest fundraisers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. What
are some of the others that, you know, you guys might put together?
Well, we just put together a send-off rally. Chad Stolle and Gary Borger, they put together a bus that went to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. So we do a send-off rally the night the buses are leaving just to root the kids on and the adults that are going, encourage them. This year was a little different. We had a little slimmer crowd. We started a little earlier, and then the buses didn't leave until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
There was a lot of issues in Washington, D.C. right now with getting into the restaurants needing a vaccine card. So the buses left a little later this year. We had 55 people on the bus. The bus was completely full except for one spot, and that spot would have been filled. But I don't know what happened to that rider. But we had riders waiting to go. If we would have known that person wanted to back out, we could have filled that spot easily. So they headed out at 10 o'clock this year. But we did our rally, and our rally, we usually have some music. We have a guest speaker. Lynn Rinderly was our speaker this year. She is from St. Henry, and her husband found out they were pregnant with quadruplets. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, and they were all girls.
Wow, quadruplets, that's good luck to them.
Yes, so she spoke at our rally about, you know, how she was pressured to abort one of the babies or two of the babies. She did a good job, very good job. And then usually we have a political leader come in and speak that night at the rally. And we give out our Friend of Life Award that evening as well. So that all takes part at the rally. And then this year there was just one bus. Usually there's two buses. So the bus leaves then soon after the rally is over. So that's a big deal for us in January.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we move on, like you said, we move on to the Sweetheart Dance this month, and that is our biggest fundraiser.
And you guys are usually active in, like, the local parades, aren't you?
Yes.
I was thinking there was always a float.
Yep.
That you represented your group.
Yeah. Usually Henry and Pat Timmerman, they take care of the float and get that in the parades locally.
It is always one of the most impressive floats, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Sweetheart Dance is this coming Saturday, is that correct?
It is this coming Saturday, yes. And I believe that there was a little advertisement put together and it has been airing.
That'll be coming on. That'll be in the next set of commercials. That'll be the last one in the next set of commercials. So if you want to give some details, and this can reiterate it, but when we take a break in 5 or 10 minutes here, but it's a pretty good thing. It's $5, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and you can also, there is a supper ahead of that, but you need to call Roamers and get a reservation so they can make sure they have enough food. But if you want to give details now, or we can give it later.
Well, I think you just did.
Well, but I didn't give them phone numbers, didn't tell them how to get the tickets. The promo will be playing in a little bit, but we'll make sure we talk about that before we end tonight again.
Okay.
So because that's the nearest thing coming up, and anything else you want to promote. But yeah, that's good. I'll stop now.
Okay, you done?
Yeah.
Okay, because you just talked about the whole new Sweetheart Dance thing. Carol just threw her notes away. She has nothing to talk about. Connie, and now it's Jocelyn's turn. And so, so you talked about how you became involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Was like one of your first things to be involved in the oratory piece of it?
No. I first got involved with Created Equals Justice Ride. Well, actually, no, it was before that. I went with Mike Spencer on outreach. He pulled me along and dragged me into all this stuff. but I went on outreach with him when I was like probably 13, 12 or 13. And then I did Created Equals week-long justice ride where we went to Florida. And we do a week of outreach, talking to college students about abortion and changing minds. So that really pulled me into it. So
what's that experience like? I'm picturing, okay, so here's a 14-year-old girl going on to a college campus and trying to talk a college kid into anything. I mean, parents can't do it. So how does a 14-year-old girl approach something like that?
Yeah, so I was actually 15 when I did it on my own. Yep. I did a lot of shadowing until then. And then I just start by asking them a question like, what do they think of abortion? And then we just get into a debate from there, and we have aborted images to the side, and we can reference those. And basically, it's just a conversation, and we go wherever the conversation goes, and I just try to prove the humanity of the unborn to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it might be good to know, too, for your listeners, that Created Equal is a pro-life ministry out of Columbus, Ohio, and this is what they do. They train a generation of young people to speak up and to speak confidently and to do it in a way that's gracious and compassionate and very persuasive. And so, you know, Jocelyn wasn't just thrown out there. She really got some really, really high-caliber training through them before they put her out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of what you talked about at the very beginning was that at the very beginning, you went through some of Mike's trainings.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so would you talk a little bit about what that consists of?
Yeah, so basically we are shown how to prove the humanity of the unborn. So, like, the preborn is a human being. Most people will say that that preborn is not human. And so the big thing is trying to prove to them that the preborn is a human being, and then to go from there that the preborn is valuable, because the only way to have equality is if all humans are valuable. And so you just build on the argument from there.
Okay. So, like, are you pretty good at it?
Yes.
You can tell that she'd be good at it.
She has a razor-sharp mind, a cast-iron spine, and a tender heart. She's the whole deal at this. Your audience would be very impressed to see how good she is at this.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but...
I will.
So as you get into these discussions, mm-hmm. okay, is there... Is there any talk about, well, you know, if there's not a heartbeat, then then that's not a human being?
Yeah, so there's many arguments like that. Like, they'll throw in heartbeat, they throw in brain waves, they throw in self-awareness, and they say if any of these things aren't present, then the baby's not valuable, they're not a person, they're not a human. But if you start to throw in arbitrary things like that, then there's really nowhere you stop. You have to start with conception and say that a human's valuable because they're a human. If you put in arbitrary things like that, you can also cut off the older generation too and say, hey, they have Alzheimer's, they can't think as well as they did before, therefore they're not valuable. You can't draw it on an arbitrary line. You have to say because they're a human, they're valuable.
Very good. And is that part of the training?
Yes. Yeah.
That. So when you talk about this training, is it a 4-hour course? Is it weeks? Is it, you know, what type of?
I've been through a lot of different trainings. Most of the time they're like an hour long. Life Defenders sometimes, I think that's like 1 hour, 2 hours, 2 hour
sometimes
classes.
Three, yeah. Two or 3 hours.
Two or 3 hour classes. I also did an internship with Created Equal, which is in Columbus, and that was an 8-week training and on the street outreach. So that was 40 hours a week throughout that time, just getting training and hands-on experience.
So, I tell you what, before we get to the next question, I think we should take another break, Neil.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back and ask you how you combat the my body, my choice discussion. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
When it comes to fracturing compaction, there's no taming this tiger. In both wet and dry conditions, genuine Case IH Tiger Points create a root environment that reduces plant stress and maximizes the potential for higher yields. Available at Hall Brothers and Fort Recovery, genuine Case IH Tiger Points now have 3 times the wear life of our second generation and 6 times the wear life of the original. For more information, visit Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer in Fort Recovery today.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet with salad bar. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274.
Mercer County Right to Life will be holding their annual Sweetheart Dance on Saturday, February 12th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Romer's Catering in St. Henry. Tickets are only $5 and can be purchased in advance or at the door. Tickets serve as chances for many prizes donated by area businesses and individuals. You need not be present to win. At the dance, there will be door prizes donated by local businesses too. Reservations can be made for the optional wedding-style meal being served at 6 p.m. at Romer's before the dance. For meal reservations, go to romerscatering.com or call 419-678-8482. Dance tickets and meal reservations are available online at mercerlife.org. Support a great cause and have a nice night out at the Mercer County Right to Life's Sweetheart Dance coming up on Saturday night, February 12th at Romer's Catering in St. Henry, Ohio.
We're back in sight, and we're talking about pro-life activities, and we're talking to Ms. Jocelyn Demerson. And Jossie, we were talking about you going on to the U College campus, mm-hmm. or you know, really any place, and having discussions, debates mm-hmm. about abortion.
Yep.
You know, I remember when I was in high school. I graduated in 1974. And in those classes, so when I was a senior, they had just changed, you know, they had just decided this Roe v. Wade. And our classes were almost always about a debate about abortion, mm-hmm. you know. So as a young lady, how do you argue the my body, my choice?
Yeah, so that's one of the more prevalent arguments you'll hear, especially on college campuses. It's usually the first thing people will throw at you when you're talking to them. But when you're talking about the my body, my choice argument, you have to remember that this argument's fundamentally flawed because they're saying it's my body and my choice, but this is not the woman's body that we're talking about here. This is the baby's body. And so to say my body, my choice is to completely dismiss the baby and say it doesn't exist or it's not valuable. So you have to bring it back to the focus of it's about the baby here. It's not about the woman's body. This isn't the woman's body. This isn't a parasite. That's a human being that we're talking about here.
Very good. And then you talked about the various trainings that you had, mm-hmm. you had been to and the oratory contest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me about that contest.
Yeah, so the oratory contest is hosted by Mercer County Right to Life, and juniors and seniors in high school research and write a, and then they present a 5 to 7 minute speech, and that can be on abortion, euthanasia, and infanticide. And basically, we present it, and then the top six contestants will move on to present it in person.
Awesome. And then those have prizes associated with them?
Yes. So, like, first place would get $1,000.
Oh.
Second place would get $750. Third would be $500. And then I think fourth through sixth is $250.
Wow. That's impressive. And it's, you know, well worth
oh, yeah.
a kid's time, you know. I'm assuming that you won one of these in the past?
I won last year's.
You did?
Yeah.
So can you recite your speech at this point?
Okay. No, not at all.
We'll take extra time. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we've talked about the training. No, I'll tell you what. Before we go into that, let's talk about going down to Kettering.
Yes.
Okay. How often do you do that?
So me and some friends get to get a group together once a week right now.
So every week you drive down to Kettering, which is the closest
abortion clinic. Yep.
How many abortion clinics are in the state? Do you have any idea?
I think there's six to eight. But I don't know about, like, pill dispensers. Those are, like, the ones where surgical abortions happen, I think.
Okay. So the closest one is in Kettering.
Mm-hmm.
So are you actually allowed in the actual clinic?
No. No pro-lifers are allowed in any clinics anywhere. So we would stand outside on the sidewalks, and we talk to the women as they're going in. But we don't get on their property at
okay.
all.
Okay. So. And then how do most people react to you?
Most of the women going in completely ignore you. Occasionally you'll get women who are, like, really upset and really emotionally upset, and they'll, like, yell at you and stuff. But occasionally we'll get a woman who's willing to come over and talk to us and have a conversation about her and her baby and how we can help her.
Yeah. So and, you know, to me that would be such a difficult thing to put yourself through, especially as a young 17-year-old girl, to put yourself out there and to be willing to have mm-hmm. that emotional conversation. Because, I'm in HR, and I know what it's like when you're talking to people about things that emotionally affect them. And I can't imagine anything affecting them more mm-hmm. than, you know, what they're going in there to do.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you think about going down there, give me an example of a good day that you went down there and thought, that was worth my trip.
Yeah, so actually yesterday we went down, and it was probably one of the better days we've ever had. And one of my friends was talking. Well, we talk to the women as they're going in, and this lady kept ignoring her, and she was walking back and forth from her car. And eventually she got into the car, and her boyfriend was in there too. And she drove out of the parking lot, and we're standing by the exit. And she rolled down her friend window, and my friend started talking to her. And the woman's like, yeah, I don't really want to go through with this. He's kind of pressuring me to. And she just seemed really uncertain. So my friend got her phone number, and her name's Tayshelle, and they've been in contact. And then actually today, Tayshelle texted my friend, and she's like, hey, I don't think I'm going to go through with this. Would you be willing to meet with me and go to a doctor's appointment with me? So she's 16 weeks along right now, and she's having a boy, and she's hoping to keep it. So.
And just to interject, I already received a phone call tonight from a local pastor in Salina who's working with them to help raise funds to help her. So there's an army of pro-lifers that really want to get behind these young ladies that are choosing life and really, really come alongside them and help them when they make those decisions to keep their babies. So that's already in the works right now.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about the opportunities that any one of us have to save somebody's life mm-hmm. on any given day, you think, you know, when's that ever going to happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
But it actually happened to you guys yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. It doesn't happen every time, but
yeah.
It makes it all the more worthwhile when it does.
That's pretty cool. So let's flip the coin, okay? Like your really bad day or really bad confrontation, let's say.
Yeah, so not every day is nice and sunny and we get to see a baby saved or get to talk to women. The majority of the time, it is really depressing. It's a very sobering time because the women are going in to kill their babies. And so it's just really hard. Like, one of our harder days is when no one wants to come over and talk to us, and they just go in or they get angry at us. But those are really a testament to why we have to stay faithful, because you have to be able to push through the hard times and able to get to the point where you get to see a baby saved. And just being able to push through those really shows that you're willing to commit and be there to help the women.
And if you think about it, the quiet days, the days when there isn't anybody screaming at you, is probably the most depressing, because nobody's hearing you. At least if they're screaming back at you or they're telling you to mind your own dang business, at least you know that they're hearing you.
Yeah. Well, we actually, as the women are going in, even on the quiet days, we are talking to them and trying to persuade them to not go through with their abortion. And I know there have been times when the women don't even respond to us and they don't even talk to us. But years later, this hasn't happened to us because we haven't been in it for years. But years later, women will come back to the counselors who are down at Kettering and they'll be like, hey, I never told you, but you saved my baby's life. So even on the quiet days, you have no idea how much of an impact you're making.
Sure. Kind of gives you chills, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It does. That's really impressive. So, Mike, let's talk to you for a minute.
All right.
Okay. So you're still a pastor?
I'm not sure how to answer that. Yeah. I'm not actively pastoring. You can take the pastor out of the pulpit. You can't take the pulpit out of the pastor. So, yeah, I guess I'm still a pastor. Yeah. But my flock is the unborn, so
yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah. So talk about some of the training. You know, you've talked about, like, your project is Project Life Voice.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which consists of what?
Sure. Well, again, we are a gospel-driven human rights organization that equips pro-lifers to speak intelligently and, again, to act sacrificially on behalf of the unborn. And we do it in a variety of settings. So we do it in high schools. In fact, I'll be speaking at a high school in Detroit tomorrow. We do it in a lot of workshop settings, like we're going to be doing for Mercer County Right to Life on March 12th, the Life Defenders class that we'll talk about. I do a lot of speaking in churches. I was just in one this past Sunday. And I do a lot of partnering with pregnancy centers throughout the United States to help them raise funds. I'm not a fundraiser per se, but I do a lot of speaking at their fundraising banquets where they raise money to care for young moms and for their babies and so forth. And so it's really a variety of things, but it's all related to advocating on behalf of the least of these, you know, the unborn. So that's what we do. The training itself, the nature of the training, and Jocelyn really already touched on this, but just to build on that a little bit, so the training is basically, well, let me talk about what we're going to do at the Mercer County Right to Life Defenders event on Saturday, March 12th. Last year, we had, I think, what was it, Connie, about 80 people in attendance, right? We filled, it was at the Do Good Restaurant in Osgood, and we just filled their private room upstairs. It was really, I mean, when I say filled, it was packed. It was really exciting. We expect to have many more this year, and so what we're doing this year is we're going to be meeting at Preferred Insurance Company in Coldwater from 9 till noon. Well, this year, we're going to do something different, though. We're going to do a 101 level and a 201 level. So in the 101 level, those who are first-timers, who are coming for the first time, are going to get really good, solid training from my associate, Pat Schwenk, who's going to teach basically, as Jocelyn mentioned, how to defend the full biological humanity of the unborn child by appealing to basic human embryology to make that case, to prove that they are distinct living and whole human beings from day one, even as a single cell zygote, and then to deal with tough objections that the other side raises. Like, well, what about a young woman or a young girl who's raped and becomes pregnant? Or what about, a life-threatening pregnancy-related condition like chorioamnionitis or ectopic pregnancy? What do we do then? Or you know, these objections from the other side. Well, you're a man and you have no right to speak to the issue. So that's the kind of stuff that's going to be taught in 101. Super hands-on, user-friendly, the kind of thing people will be able to take and put to work in their conversations. The 201 level is going to be dealing really on two primary themes. The first one is going to be moral relativism, particularly how that impacts the abortion debate, how to detect it, how to navigate through it. And then the second part of that 201 training will be dealing with the subject of euthanasia and assisted suicide. And again, making the case that human life is to be cherished and protected, and that, you know, that taking an unborn child's life or taking your own life or taking someone else's life through, let's say, euthanasia, are equally wrong, because in each case, it's the unjust taking of innocent human life, and only God has the right to do that. So we'll be building on those arguments and really equipping people to know how to, again, how to work through difficult conversations related to those subjects.
And like that, so that is part of the Life Defenders class.
That's right. That's the Life Defenders class, the 101 and 201 level.
Okay. Yep. And then is the Life Defenders class part of the Project Life Voice?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So, yes, we are working, Project Life Voice is working in a very close working partnership with Right to Life of Northeast Indiana, which is Fort Wayne, Indiana's Right to Life group. They started this program, I think, 15, 16 years ago now, and I've been involved not all of those years, but for a good 12 years or 11 or 12 years now, and we saw the need to take this, because originally that was started for high school students, and now it's we've taken it all over the United States, I think to about 16 or 17 states now, and we've opened it up to adult audiences as well, so, yeah.
Very good. Neil, is it time for a break? Okay. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about your book.
Great.
Okay. Mike wrote a book.
Is that what you have in your hand?
Yes.
Huh.
Okay. So we'll be back to talk about that.
Stop by the library on your way here.
We'll be back.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining. Then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
If you're trying to come up with great meal ideas for your family this winter, let Wayne Street Market help you out. A great place to start is with their cube steak. Right now, it's only $4.99 a pound. Grab several packages and you'll have a good start for all kinds of meals. Cube steak and baked potatoes in a salad. Cube steak and mashed potatoes covered with mushroom gravy. Cube steak with hash browns and corn. Anything your family loves, you can get off to a great start with their cube steaks at only $4.99 a pound from Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Friday, the boys will host State Rank for Sales, and that will be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast with Brian Patch and Dave Kalp, and will also be on the NFHS network. On Saturday, the boys will host Newton, and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast of that game with the NFHS network. Get out to these games if you can to support our Indians, but if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Presale tickets for Friday and Saturday's boys' home basketball games will be sold tomorrow in the high school office from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Friday, presale tickets will be sold from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the high school office. Presale tickets are $7 for both adults and students. All tickets at the door will be $8.
$8. All tickets at door will be $8.
Will it be got
$8. Don't know why it cut off.
So does that mean we're back?
Yes, we are back.
Okay.
Welcome home.
Yeah. And so during commercial, now I've got witnesses that can attest to it. And they're believable. They're not like Rocker.
Rocker's believable.
Yeah. During commercial, Neil screams at me all the time, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I saw it.
It's amazing.
It's terrible.
Well,
terrible.
If you just do what you're supposed to, I wouldn't have to say a word.
That's probably true. So Mike, we're talking about your book, okay? And the title of it is Humanly Speaking. When did this come out?
Just a couple months ago. It's titled Humanly Speaking. It's subtitled The Evil of Abortion, The Silence of the Church, and The Grace of God. And really, it's kind of an expose on the church. I mean, the Catholic, the Protestant, and the Evangelical Church, all churches. When I say all, not all churches, but all brands of churches, if you will. It's kind of an expose on the silence of the church with respect to the least of these, the little ones, who are in the crosshairs of choice, in the crosshairs of abortion. And so the purpose of the book really was to sort of expose that silence, but also then to speak somewhat redemptively to it and to talk about what is the biblical role of the church, or more specifically, what is the biblical role of the shepherd in an abortion-supportive culture. So that's really what the book is about. I am dealing with the full biological humanity of the unborn child in there, making that case, as well as the full personhood of the unborn child. But it's really focusing more on this line of demarcation that seems to exist within many churches, certainly not all, but within many churches, that says there are those that we value and protect, and then those that we are going to ignore and not protect, namely the unborn. And so a huge part of huge goal of mine in writing the book was to sort of erase that line of demarcation and see all human beings as worthy of legal protection.
Do you think that it's, a lot of churches will say the right thing? It is kind of like a company that says safety is our most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they have to make money. Okay. Do you think churches like say that, that they're against abortion, mm-hmm. yet they won't speak about
right.
it.
Yeah, that is exactly right, Jack. That's a huge problem in churches across our land today. I don't know what the number is exactly. I don't have a statistic at hand, but I think the overwhelming majority of Catholic churches, the overwhelming majority of Catholic churches and evangelical churches, I don't know that this would be true of mainline Protestant churches, I'm sure it wouldn't be, but certainly the overwhelming majority of Catholic churches and evangelical churches would say that they are pro-life. But in reality, they're really not doing much to protect their own little ones, to say the least, have an impact on those outside of the church. And so, yeah, this is I like to say it this way. Our opposition as followers of Christ, those who recognize the full humanity of the unborn child, our opposition to abortion has to be more meaningful than one's opposition to eating broccoli. I don't like broccoli, and I hope I'm not offending you, Jack, or your audience, but I'm not a broccoli eater, okay? But my opposition to eating broccoli is, I don't talk about it. It doesn't animate me in any way. If abortion is, as we in the pro-life community argue, the deliberate, intentional, unjust killing of innocent human beings at their most vulnerable stage of development, and by the way, in the most barbaric manner imaginable, if that is so, and if we believe that is so, then our actions ought to match our rhetoric. We ought to be treating it that way. We ought to be treating the unborn that way, I should say.
And I'm playing the devil's advocate to a certain extent. But if you know that, and we can use whichever numbers you want, but let's say that it's 50-50, that 50% of the people are pro-choice, 50% are pro-life.
You mean within the church, or do you mean outside of, just in general?
Just in general.
In general, yeah.
Okay. And you run the risk of pushing away half of your congregation.
Right.
Aren't you going to take kind of a soft approach to that?
Well, I think that's exactly what is happening, is a lot of shepherds, pastors, and priests
who would be pro-life, who would claim to be pro-life, and are. I'm not even necessarily questioning that, at least not for our purposes here tonight. Many of those shepherds would say they're pro-life, but are afraid that if they speak to the issue, they're going to alienate people and push people away. There's no doubt that that's possible. I'm not going to deny that. But the question is, what is the shepherd's job? The shepherd is first and foremost a sheep protector. Now, he's more than that. He's a sheep feeder. He's a lot of things. But at the most foundational level, the pastor or the priest is a sheep protector. And they are called by God to speak up for those who have no voice. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 makes it very clear. Ephesians 5:11 says we're to expose the evil deeds of darkness, have nothing to do with them, but to expose them. And this is the role of the shepherd. So the shepherd's job is not to, and I don't mean to be crass or to be unfair, and I certainly don't want to broad brush all pastors, because I thank God for many pastors and priests who do speak up, but many of them don't, and the majority of them don't. We can't be licking our fingers and sticking it in the wind to see which way the political winds are blowing to decide whether or not we're going to give voice to the voiceless. We damage our gospel witness when we speak adoringly of Christ, the lover of children, but then we don't love children enough to speak up for them. Something's wrong in the church when that's happening.
So if, like, you were going to take your book, okay, mm-hmm. and provide three key takeaways mm-hmm. that you want every high school kid or every young mom or every person walking the street to mm-hmm. to understand and take away from that book.
Sure.
What would it be?
That's a great question. Well, number one, there is no moral difference between Jack the adult man and Jack the embryo. And so to take your life unjustly now would be no worse than taking your life unjustly in the womb. So that would be the first takeaway, that we need to see the unborn as a whole human being, one of God's image bearers. That's number one. Number two, because we see them that way, or assuming that we see them that way, then the second takeaway is that we should be acting on that. That whether we're a pastor or a priest and we've got this huge influence as a shepherd in the pulpit, or we're a nurse working in a hospital or a school teacher working in a high school, wherever God has called us to, whatever sphere of influence we are to be acting in accordance with our beliefs. How we vote. We should not be voting for candidates or political parties who want to strip an entire class of our citizenry their most fundamental right to life. So again, our actions needs to match our rhetoric. Words do speak, actions do speak louder than words oftentimes. So that would be the second takeaway. The third takeaway I would say is this. While we want to be deliberate and we want to be bold and uncompromising about the humanity of the unborn child and about our duty to them, we also want to be grace extending. And I think it's entirely possible for the church to boldly condemn abortion from the pulpit on Sunday morning for the evil that it is in no uncertain terms, just as we would hopefully boldly condemn slavery or racism or sex trafficking. So we can boldly decry abortion for the evil that it is, and at the same time, we can be a grace-extending, grace-nurturing, compassionate community, holding out the word of life, God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, for those who have made abortion decisions, for those who have aborted their children and now regret it. So that would be the third takeaway, that there is grace and there is forgiveness for those who have aborted their children, and there is hope. And it's not just that Christ promises to forgive us when we confess our sin, whatever that sin is, whether it's the sin of abortion or lying or gossip or lust, whatever, but he also promises to put us back together emotionally, to restore us to kingdom usefulness. And that's the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's good news. And churches should not be hiding this from those in their churches who have been impacted by abortion decisions.
I tell you what, let's take another break. And I find this with all three of you guys, it's been an absolutely fascinating hour. So let's take a break and come back and talk about a few more things that we'd like to touch on. I want to make sure we talk to Connie again about what's coming up from Mercer County Right to Life.
I'm not done with you and your book yet. Right. And Jossie, I could talk to you for hours. So we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Need a better job where the benefits are great? A family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
We're offering $1,000 sign-on bonuses for maintenance and CDL drivers. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 begins an interesting business year. Has your business experienced change within your operation? Or maybe you've undergone the loss of internal critical personnel, a trusted banker, or advisor. Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action on how to navigate these challenges in your business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
Mercer County Right to Life will be holding their annual Sweetheart Dance on Saturday, February 12th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Romer's Catering in St. Henry. Tickets are only $5 and can be purchased in advance or at the door. Tickets serve as chances for many prizes donated by area businesses and individuals. You need not be present to win. At the dance, there will be door prizes donated by local businesses too. Reservations can be made for the optional wedding-style meal being served at 6 p.m. at Romer's before the dance. For meal reservations, go to romerscatering.com or call 419-678-8482. Dance tickets and meal reservations are available online at mercerlife.org. Support a great cause and have a nice night out at the Mercer County Right to Life's Sweetheart Dance coming up on Saturday night, February 12th at Romer's Catering in St. Henry, Ohio.
Let me know when it gets down to five.
I think I told you four about 10 seconds ago.
We're back. Insight. Jack, Connie, Jocelyn, and Mike. We are rocking the pro-life topic. And I've got a combo question for Jossie and Mike. Okay? Mike, in your book, you talk about about raising the right type of rebel.
Yeah.
Okay? And I understand that, but then I think about Jossie, and I think about taking that 15 and 16-year-old girl and putting her in a high school setting, and she's willing to kind of step out there. She dances to the beat of her own drum, and she's carving her own way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are the challenges of that, Jossie? Because I am sure that as a high schooler,
mm-hmm.
you get some pressure from other kids.
Yeah, you definitely get pressure, and people think you're weird. You're not the normal type of kid. And even like on outreach, you face the fear of like blanking. But you just have to realize that as long as you remain faithful, the results are up to God. It's not how good you're going to do. It's not what the others think about you. So just remaining faithful, and even when it is hard, just pushing through with it. It's most important.
Is it hard?
Yes, it is.
Do you find, now that you're a senior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have got 3 months left.
Yeah.
Do you find that those differences are starting to disappear because the maturity of people at the senior level is different than when you're sophomores and freshmen?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
It, you know, it just seems like the differences and the cliques that are there when you're freshmen and sophomores.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you're in the last half of your senior year, there's a realization by everybody that you're really not as different as you thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
Type stuff. So, as a parent, Mike, okay, you'd said you had some advice on what to do and how to raise the right kind of rebel.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jocelyn is, of course, she's not my daughter, so her parents get the credit for her, although I'd love to steal some of that. You know, I would say this. I think the church in general has not probably done as good of a job as it needs to in harnessing some of the, you know, the rebellion that high school students, you know, we've all gone through it. You know, you go through your high school years, you feel a little rebellious, you want to kick up your heels a little bit. And when the church doesn't fill that void by giving young people something worthy to rebel against, and I'm talking about something bad, instead of rebelling against God and society and parents, to give them something worthy to rebel against, like the evil of abortion, you know, Jocelyn is very unique. And she is really a poster child for faithfulness to God and being willing to swim upstream in the culture of death and so forth. And so I don't want to take anything away from her because she really is just outstanding in that regard. But she's not alone. There are thousands of young people like Jocelyn throughout the United States who are rising up against this evil. And many of them are not going to go into full-time pro-life work. You know, many of them are going to go off and into the, you know, different career fields, and that's great. But they're going to go out and they're going to have an impact, and they're having an impact now. You know, Planned Parenthood sees young people as a wallet or a purse or a credit card. They see them as a financial opportunity to make money off the blood of their children and off of their crisis. We in the pro-life movement, I say we, those of us who are older in the pro-life movement, we look at people, young people like Jocelyn, and we don't see an opportunity for us to gain financially. We see an opportunity for us to mentor and invest. And nobody's doing that I'm aware of, quite like the pro-life movement. Groups like ours, Project Life Voice, we spend a lot of time investing in high school students, Created Equal. But to speak to your, maybe more to your point, the question being about parents, I think that we can't give away what we don't possess. The students that I think do best, just in life in general, are students who are raised in homes where mom and dad love Christ, are unashamed about that, are bold about their convictions, and on this issue, on the subject of abortion, help their young people see that this is a cause, this is a fight, you know, a fight worthy of getting. And just real quick story, Vernon Johns is a name that might be familiar to some of your audience. Vernon Johns was the pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church prior to Martin Luther King being there. He's considered the founding father of the civil rights movement. And Vernon Johns, when he was a kid, was told, he was given some very unique advice by his dad, but it would be good advice for all the parents in your audience tonight. The advice was, his dad told him, young Vernon, when you see a good fight, get into it. And of course, his point was, there are certain things in life that are worth fighting for.
Sure.
And fighting for the rights of the oppressed, the marginalized, the unborn, is a good fight. And so I could say more about it, but I would just say to your audience, to moms and dads, to those that are already claiming to be pro-life, to make sure that those convictions are being taught, because they won't be caught if they're not taught. And your students need to see a fire and a passion in you. And Jocelyn is an example of that as well, because if you meet Jocelyn's parents, Jeremy and Carrie Dameron, you see fire and conviction and grit in them. And yet you also see compassion and warmth. And, you know, that the apple has not fallen far from the tree here with Jocelyn, so I'll just say that.
That's cool. So I have learned a lot. So a couple of questions, and I'll let all three of you guys kind of answer these. Okay. You know, approximately 55% of the abortions that take place right now are surgical in nature versus 45% that are the pill chemical form.
That's right.
Is there any difference in your eyes?
You mean morally?
Morally.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, the different methods that are used, there are multiple methods of abortion. DNX, DNE, there's suction aspiration, saline solution abortion. There's a lot of ways to kill an unborn child. They're all bad. So whether it's a chemical killing or a surgical killing, it's equally bad, equally evil.
And whether it's at 20 weeks or 10 weeks or 2 days, there's no difference?
Nope, none at all.
Okay. Very good. So, in the past couple of months, there was a push for Salina to become a sanctuary city. Okay. Good or bad thing, Connie?
We had many from Mercer County there at Salina at all of those hearings. It was quite an experience to be a part of. I don't even know what to say as far as the number of citizens who would come out on the night of a hearing. It was a bunch.
At my understanding, and I've only lived in Salina for 17 years, but my understanding, it was a record that nobody remembers any event in the history of the city where that many people came out.
Really?
Now, I don't know if that's true, but this is what I heard from several people. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. The effort to declare Salina a sanctuary city was the right thing to do. In fact, every city and every state ought to be a safe haven or a sanctuary for the unborn as well as for the born. It was a great disappointment, and I think a great travesty, that three of the men on the city council who claimed to be Christians, claimed to be pro-life, nonetheless voted against the unborn. And they doctored it up in all kinds of rhetoric, and they came up with 101 excuses of why this wasn't a good thing to do. But the bottom line was is that they ran away from their duty to protect this city. And I think it was a great loss and a great disappointment. But it's not over.
Yep. So, do we need to take another break, or can I let Connie?
Let's let them finish. Then we'll sneak Rocker into sports talk.
Okay,
very good. That's our best way to go. So, if you're staying around for Rocker, just stay around a couple more minutes. Okay.
So, Connie, let's retouch on the local right to life chapter, the events that you've got coming up, and when and where they are.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the Sweetheart Dance. That's coming up Saturday night. So that'll be our next event.
And that's at Romer's in St. Henry?
That is at Romer's in St. Henry. Yep.
And you can get tickets by...
Well, you can get tickets at the door. Stop at Romer's at the inn and pick them up there as well.
Yep.
Or you can just come on out that night and you can buy them at the door.
But
if
you are going to be there for the meal, you do need to do pre-sale.
You do.
And the meal is good old wedding style meal. And I can't remember I don't remember what the price is, but it's definitely very affordable.
Yep, $10 a person.
Yep, $10 a person.
Yep, very good meal. Yep, so come on out and join us Saturday night. We'd love it. The next event we have coming up is the oratory contest that Jocelyn filled us in about. And I believe that the videos need to be in by February 20th?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All righty. So have your videos in by February 20th.
They can get this information on...
They can go on our website.
Which is, I can't remember what it is.
Mercer County...
I just go to Mercer County Right to
Life. Yeah, if you type that into Google, it will come up.
It'll get you there, yeah. And all the information's in there. Janelle Homan takes care of all that for us. She does a great job. And her address, her email address is in there where you mail your video to. So you can just go ahead and get on there and find out.
It's a great way for high school kids to make a pretty decent chunk of money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of our goals in Mercer County Right to Life, is to reach the young people by getting them involved in the t-shirt contest, getting them involved in the essay contest, the oratory contest. We try to keep the prizes high so these students want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And everyone who participates gets something.
No.
So it just gets them motivated to dig into what they believe about abortion.
Very good.
And then right after the oratory contest, which the six top participants will be a part of, then the following Saturday is the Life Defenders Workshop with Mike and Pat. So they'll be there that day. There's just a $5 fee for that. You can also go to our website, sign up. It'll take you to the link. You sign up on the link, pay your $5. A breakfast is included in that, and that's from 9 to 12. Mike's real diligent about starting on time and ending on time. So
we're not, and that's okay.
And it will be the fastest 3 hours of their week. I can promise them that.
Oh. Awesome. I forgot what I was going to say. I'll think of it. You can go ahead and finish okay. your list there.
I was just going to throw this out there. When we were at Do Good Restaurant last year, and Mike spoke, you literally could have heard a pin drop through the entire talk. Everybody listened. They were like on the edge of their seats, just taking in every word. Literally, you could have heard a pin drop throughout the entire 3 hours. And that wasn't just adults sitting through that. That was high schoolers as well. So that's how good it is. I just encourage everyone to check it out and sign up and try to come out that day. I'm just going to throw this out there. Choosing Life Pregnancy Center is having their auction March the 10th through the 12th. That's an online auction. You can go online, sign up. They have some great things to bid on, and this is their only moneymaker for the year. We then go into the T-shirts. You can order T-shirts by... Oh, I can't think of her first name. Rose is the last name. She won the contest, and her design is put on the T-shirt, and you can buy a cool. T-shirt and support. We really don't make any money off of this. We just want to support the students and their designs that they drew.
Yeah, just some quick information. MercerLife.org is the Mercer County Right to Life.
There you go, Neil.
And Choosing Life is choosinglife.us. If you just type Choosing Life into Google, that stuff just pops right up. So you don't have to remember the .orgs and .us's, but if you type that in, the website will come up, and you can just click on that and go to wherever you need to go. But there. So that those are all really good things. Go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, thanks, Neil. I appreciate that very much. Yeah. When you purchase your T-shirts, or you can wear a T-shirt from last year, or whatever kind of pro-life T-shirt you want to wear, the schools then, we have a pro-life T-shirt day, and that is going to be on April the 19th. And everybody wears their pro-life T-shirts to school. And that's always a big deal in our county. A lot that's of the cool. students wear their shirts to school that day.
What's the date on that again?
That is April the 19th this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Last event we have listed in our newsletter is the Mother's Day Rose Sale. We sell roses on Mother's Day, which a lot of you probably have seen at your churches. So that'll be on Mother's Day again this year. So we are very blessed by a lot of businesses that give to Mercer County Right to Life, so we can help organizations like Project Life Voice, and we can help the Life Defenders class. We can also help Created Equal out of Columbus and help them. So we have a lot of generous people who give so that we can help those who are on the front lines to save these little ones.
Very good. And finally, Mike, to mention it one more time, the name of the book is Humanly Speaking.
Yep.
By Michael Spencer. It's available on Amazon.
Yep, it's available on Amazon. It's Humanly Speaking, The Silence of the, or I'm sorry, The Evil of Abortion, The Silence of the Church, and The Grace of God.
Fantastic. Guys, it's been a quick hour and 15 minutes.
It's only been an hour, Jack. Okay, you're right.
Close. It's been tremendously informative. I admire each of you for the roles that you're playing and the difference you're making.
Thank you. So,
thank you, Jack.
So yes.
I wish you nothing but fantastic things in the future. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Neil, I think we covered everything.
Yep. And just if you're one more note, if you're tuning in for Rocker, he's going to start off Sports Talk
instead of ending Rocker
Insight.
Bill and Fee and Sports Talk.
Yep.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, right?
Probably 8:17.
Okay. Until next week. This is Jack. Neil will be back next week on Insight.
you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.